I saved my first drink to have with you here.
No, Rick, not tonight.
Especially tonight. Please. Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
Well, I guess we better get on with it.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, back for another version of the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. And today we have a great show for you. We're going to tie a whole lot of loose ends together. We're going to focus on alcohol, what it is and what it means to you, women and wine in the news today, and of course, the most important part, we're going to take your calls, your emails, and see what you have to say about what's going on with the crush. So off to a very interesting start, I want to send out a special thank you to the very, very kind people in Chicago, Illinois. I just returned from being up at the North Shore Wine Festival. I was hosted by WKRS 1220. Those people are great. Everyone at the Cuneo Museum was wonderful. And thank you very much for letting me come up there and leave the confines of my studio and leave my producer, Kent, behind. We got in enough trouble that it all merits, but I'm happy to know that they did not escort me back down to the Mason-Dixon line. There was kind of a running bet here and there as to whether or not my Southern personality would wind me in jail at some point. So
I lost.
You lost. Yeah, yes, I know. There was a great pot going on. Fortunately, I'm the one that won it. I knew I could keep my mouth shut long enough to stay out of trouble. Well, almost out of trouble. I certainly didn't get in trouble at the museum, although there was a small little steakhouse in Cicero around Chicago where I'm convinced now that there's probably a contract out on my life, and I'm very lucky I didn't get whacked while in Chicago.
You were never allowed to return. We got the email this morning.
Yes, I'm not surprised. It's funny. Now I have Italians and the French contingent after me and up there. So we did have a great time. It was fun doing remotes. Anytime you get to go do a wine festival and see people and how excited they get, anytime they get a chance to get together, compare and contrast notes, talk about local wines, talk about regional wines, it's just really refreshing to me to see people who are out there experimenting and trying and learning different things. So to all of you at the North Shore Wine Festival, I hope you had as much fun as I did, and hopefully I'll be out in public again seeing all of you soon. But today we are focused on the studio, and it's been such a while since I sat down the chair. It's great to sit back and look at wine in the media. And when you sit back and look at the wine in the media, there's a lot of different things. You can pull it out of newspapers. You can get Food and Wine Magazine. You can get Wine Spectator Magazine, those that are geared strictly to the beverage. You can get your Time, your Newsweeks, where somewhere along the lines they're going to talk about wine. And then there's always the website. Well, there's so many things that get put together and pulled out that are so interesting. There's different ways to categorize it. Well, you can look at those articles that indeed are interesting and shed new light on interesting things. There are those that are informative and teach you about wine. And then there are those that just really annoy me to death. And we're going to focus on some of those today. We're going to have a little fun with some journalistic integrity. And just remember, the spoken word is much more powerful than the written word. So yes, we're going to consider that a challenge. But before we get there, we have to talk about wines of the week and neat recommendations. And once again, it has been an action-packed 2 weeks for me. We are very fortunate. Adam Sabraja, he is the son of Ed Sabraja, that some of you will remember have been on the show, was recently in my hometown to do a tasting of his new wines. And two things I had not seen before. Sabraja Family Vineyards does a home ranch Dry Creek Sauvignon Blanc that is absolutely to die for. It's from the northern end of Dry Creek. It is crisp. It is acidic. It has a great balance. It has lemongrass to it. Probably the most refreshing wine I have tasted in 6 months. Something else that's really, really cool about this wine, it has a glass cork. Now, you expect the bottle to be glass. You get that. You understand that. But they've been playing around with new kind of sealants, new kind of closures. And they figure that Sauvignon Blanc is not something you want to hold on to. You want to keep it fresh. You don't want to have to worry about the cork being tainted. Easy enough. Let's not do screw cap. Let's put glass corks in it. And it's one of the neatest ways to remove the cork out of the bottle. You just cut the top, and all of a sudden, there's this little glass cork you get to play with. So we had a lot of fun playing around with that. But when it comes down to it, what's in the bottle is truly what's unique, not the packaging. The Sauvignon Blanc, for those of you who are getting ready to do spring picnics, for those of you who are getting out enjoying this glorious weather, encourage you, pick up a bottle. It can't cost you more than $17.99 at your local specialty shop, and you definitely have to give it a try. That's Sobraja Family Vineyards, Home Ranch Sauvignon Blanc. Now, as far as reds, I got to try something new, too. And I have to admit, I have lectured and lectured about being guilty of falling victim to a package. And I talk about all the critters that are on the labels and all the pretty little colors and all this kind of stuff. I have to admit, I picked up this wine, I looked at this wine because of its package. Now, for those of you who like to make your own cheese boards and who ask me all the time, can I get a really cool bottle like the Dolce bottle so I can melt it down? This is going to be the wine for all of you. You're going to turn this bottle into a soap dispenser. You're going to turn it into a cheese board. Some of you will turn it into vases. The name of the wine is called Acre, as in an acre of land. But they do a Chardonnay, they do a Cabernet, and they do a Merlot. And they're hand-painted. Well, I won't say they're hand-painted. I'm sure they're machine-painted bottles because the wine is inexpensive. But they have the prettiest package, this great little grape leaf that goes all the way through it and a great clump of grapes on it. And the wines inside are wonderful. I recently had the Acre Merlot, and it's very reminiscent of what you expect California Merlot to be. It's got a lot of black cherry, a lot of black fruit to it. You get a little bit of tobacco on it, but just the plum, the mouthfeel, the roundness of the wine. Once again, great Merlot, one of the best I've had in ages. So for those of you who like to be cutting edge and value-driven, please look for your Acre wines. You can probably find them in your local Mega Marts. You can probably find them in your wine specialty shops. Pretty much anywhere they're going to be in the forefront. These wines are brand new. Look for them stacked on case stacks on the end. But definitely, Acre Merlot is worth the hunt. Probably around same price as a Sauvignon Blanc, $16.99, $17.99, and a great pair for all the grilling that we're all getting ready to do for Memorial Day. So there's our wine recommendations, Sauvignon Blanc and Merlot. Yes, I got off the Chardonnay train for a little bit. But encouraging you, I'd love to hear what you think about my wine recommendations. Some of you obviously write in, as we had the $275 debate over the Donna Estates. But I want to know what you're thinking. Are you trying the wines? Are you enjoying them? To find out what you think, you have to reach out for us. To do that, you can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. You can email us, info, at winecrush.com. Or, of course, for those of you who are a little bit shyer, you can go on Facebook, go on the Wine Crush website, check us out, type up little comments, and we can have a lot of fun with that. Just for those of you who are typing emails, just remember, if you want to be candid, it's the great way to do it. Kent gets a little upset with the four-letter words on the wine line. But we'll forgive him for that. We're used to that.
No, that's my thrill. You can do that.
Yes.
I just cut them all out.
You cut them all out. The problem is usually they're with a French accent, and he can't get past it. So he's not really sure. Was that a curse? Was that a curse? Let's just ditch the whole thing.
Guys from the embassy are always calling.
I know. That's okay. As long as I have a fan base somewhere. When you're talking about spring, and once again, I've got to go back to the great experience I had at the North Shore Wine Festival. We've talked about this in bits and pieces throughout the crush, but I want to reiterate some things to you fine young ladies and to all of us who pretty much the show is going to revolve around today. Etiquette and dressing for a wine festival. I watch this. Everyone thinks a wine festival, everyone's going to be nice. They're going to be pleasant, that everyone's going to have their nice little glass and they're going to share well and no one's going to crowd and no one's going to knock you out of the way and certainly no one's going to tackle you for that last car cracker sitting on the banquet. Incorrect. You're absolutely wrong. Wine festivals, and they totally go downhill directly proportional to how much time is spent at a wine festival. So once again, one, no white at a wine festival. I actually felt very bad. There was a lady at the wine festival, very, very well-kept 60s woman, beautiful hat, beautiful white dress. She lasted all of about 20 minutes before some guy poured a whole glass, actually I thought it was a whole bottle, of a local port down the front and back of her dress. That stuff will never come out, and that lady's dress is history. So ladies, once again, no white shirts, no white linen pants. I wouldn't even recommend white shoes for this event. On that same note, shoes, if you're going to wear shoes, wear flats. It will benefit all around you. One, if you drink too much, it's easier to keep your balance. Two, if you're going to wear heels, the rest of us don't have to worry about getting our toes stabbed. So we are off and rolling to a great show. Right now, we got to take a small break. But when we return, we will talk a little bit about alcohol and its relationship to you.
Let me show you how this is done. Hold the glass up and examine the wine against the light. You're looking for color and clarity. Now, stick your nose in it. Maybe some strawberry. Oh, there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
When do we drink it?
Now.
Mmm.
Are you chewing gum?
No.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. 700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and we are off and rolling today. Today we are looking at wine in the news and neat little blurbs and articles, I have to admit, most of which we're going to have a little fun making fun of. But right now it's always fun to put wine in perspective. As much as I love it, as much as I enjoy it, as much as my friends and producers wish I didn't enjoy it quite as much as I do, it comes down to it, it's an alcoholic beverage, and there's no two ways about that. Many, many days I wished wine had no alcohol in it. And then, of course, I come to my senses and realize what would be the point otherwise. But still, it's a great tasting beverage. It's great to sit and try. But when you start looking at the alcohol content, and of course, this comes to mind having come from a wine festival and a wine tasting, you have to take some things to heart. Now, here's something interesting, and a lot of people come across this. This is an article off Wine and Spirits Daily, and it's talking about the case for equivalency resurfaces. And it's called a standard drink campaign. And what it's looking at is to try and find a true definition of a standard drink. The standard drink definition is a 12-ounce serving of beer, which is 5% alcohol, a 5-ounce glass of wine, which is 12% alcohol, and a 1.5-ounce of 80-proof, which is 40% alcohol, distilled spirits, either straight or in a mixed drink. And for years, you know, whether you're researching, whether you've done some dieting, whether you've done anything, you think, okay, well, a glass of wine is equal to a glass of beer is equal to one drink. Well, the problem is the TTB, the ATTB, the people who keep their eyes on all the laws and all the jurisdictions are realizing that this really, really doesn't apply. And of course, this is one thing that I'm going to get out of my mouth before Kent can censor. It's a running joke with all the wine professionals. We drink wine all day and then we switch to liquor to sober up. Not that I'm advocating that, but it's true fact. So when you start sitting back and looking at this, they are realizing that there is a great problem with things. So what they are looking at, the Wine Institute says, consumers may think they're getting a standard drink at a bar, but it's not what happens in the real world. So a platform was presented in Washington this week calling for the following. Swift action by the TTB to require alcohol facts labeling on all beer, wine, and distilled spirits product. They want it to list the alcohol content, the amount of alcohol per serving, the definition of a standard drink, the number of calories, and facts about other ingredients. And of course, this is something that people have been debating back and forth, whether or not wine bottles should have on their label the calories, the nutritional information. I think we are on the cusp of a major, major change with all labeling laws. I've had people call in and ask me questions. Which is better to drink, a glass of Chardonnay, glass of Cabernet, if I'm going on Atkins? Well, the question comes down to none of us can give you a true answer. It varies bottle by bottle. It varies state by state. It varies beverage to beverage. And even when you're going into your local bar, this is something we see a lot on our side of the business. Are they serving you a 5-ounce glass of wine? Are they serving you a 6-ounce glass of wine? Is it an 8-ounce glass of wine? So a standard drink, as much as I realize it would be difficult to enforce around the country, is what this is advocating. And with Wine and Spirits Daily putting this in front of Washington, I think we've reached a point where we need to discuss it. So at that point, I am going to take an interesting email. And the email is, what is a serving of wine? Does it vary based on different types of wines? And this is from Carrie in Rochester, New York. Carrie, a serving of wine obviously is going to be a glass of wine. But the problem stems, literally stems, from what size glass you're having at a bar, what you're having at a restaurant. Once again, my wine friends and I, if we go out at bars and we get those little glasses that are 4-ounce pours, we call them wine shots. On the same token, you go to a restaurant, whether it's a Capital Grille, a Smith & Lewinsky, something like that, and the stemware they bring to the table very happily holds 3/4 of a bottle of wine. Once again, in fact, I have not checked on my own, but I've been told. So when you're looking for a standard serving, what they're asking is it a 5-ounce pour? And for those of you out there who are trying to watch your dollars, you're trying to be value-oriented, if you're going to go to a restaurant and pay $8 for a glass of Chardonnay, a 5-ounce pour isn't that much. The question then becomes, what is right and what is wrong? The average bottle is 750 milliliters. You should get 5 glasses out of a bottle if you are looking at the new standard they're looking at applying in Washington. Well, I don't know about you. That doesn't happen at my house. I know it doesn't happen in the restaurants I frequent. So how can you get a good handle on it? Carrie, I'm sorry, you can't. There's no way to walk into each restaurant. You can ask them how many ounces they're pouring, but past that, you're going to get no facts on it. Even worse, when you go to that bar, say you're going to have a glass of Chardonnay. Say your friend's going to have a glass of Pinot Grigio. Both of y'all can have, let's say, a 5-ounce pour to be in legal terms here, but the Pinot Grigio has an alcohol content of 11.2. Your Chardonnay has an alcohol content of 14.5. All of a sudden, your friend has 3 glasses of wine, you have 3 glasses of wine, and you're falling off the bar stool, but your friend is still relatively sober. The question then becomes, how do we discern and how do we break down the different alcohol contents and how do we standardize that? And I think as much as they would like to to get us to a point where we're saying every restaurant has to pour this, everyone has to be labeled. This is never going to happen. It's a nice thought for the bottles that we take home, but as far as dictating to restaurants and to what we do personally, if we're going to have a standard size, there's no way to do it. So, Carrie, I wish I had a more definitive answer for you, but that's pretty much as concrete as I can get. I would love to know what everyone thinks about the standardcy issue. You know, is a glass of wine equal to a beer equal to a 1.5-ounce liquor drink? Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email me, info@winecrush.com. Now, for those of you who want to take the argument that I just said, say you're drinking that 14.5% Chardonnay, and your friend is drinking even a 9% white Zinfandel, and you drinking the Chardonnay have had 4 glasses, and your friend drinking the white Zin has had 3, if you seriously want to debate this, there is a great new tool out of this. And this comes from the Sante magazine. Inebriated? Question mark. I, which is lowercase, big N, E-B-R-I-A-T-E-D. If your customers are asking themselves this question, they are likely wondering if they are capable of driving home. The iBreath, a new accessory for the iPod, lets users test their own blood alcohol content. You can pick this up for $79 at your Apple store.
Are you going to be able to see to use it?
Well, that depends. If you can't read it, if you can't read the iBreath, put it down, call a cab, and you'll be fine.
That's it, yeah.
But in all fairness, I think this is an exceptional tool. I think for those of you who go out and say, oh, I'm just going to have 2 glasses of wine, I'm just going to have a couple drinks, you need to look at something like this. With MAD, with alcohol laws changing around the country, with them talking about lowering the legal limits, and all of us wanting to drink and sip socially and responsibly, this is an $80 investment that will keep you safe, keep your friends safe, and it's great to have. It is being socially responsible all the way around. So I encourage y'all, check it out. I know that I will be, and I will encourage the rest of my friends to be, because it's definitely something we all need to invest in. So looking at all this, I hope we have given you a different insight on how to look at alcohol. But right now, we're going to have to take a break and just see what there is to be seen out there before I get off on my soapbox about women, wine, and of course, alcohol itself. More when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
The south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. If you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and there's my hats off to Chicago and the parts of town I wandered in where I probably shouldn't have been. But past that, in the last segment, we were talking about alcohol and the fact that there's no standard drink and about the cute little eye breath. One last little note on that. There is a new concept, and they're practicing it in New Zealand. So for those of you who think you get headaches out of wine with sulfites, or for those of you who realize, just like me, that I just drink too much and that's why I get my headaches, researchers in South Africa are testing technology that uses ultraviolet rays to zap unwanted microbes and yeast in wines, which would reduce the need to add sulfites that make some people feel bad. You get rid of microbes, you get rid of yeast, you get rid of sulfites, and your headaches and your hangover shouldn't be as impactful as they are today. I just wish they'd kind of hurry up with that technology. Any excuse, of course, to try out new technology is lovely, and I will volunteer to be a candidate on that one. But past that, believe it or not, this show is all about you, and there are some brave souls who have called the wine line. For those of you who have not, I encourage you to do so. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or, of course, the Shire ones can email us, info@winecrush.com. But right now, let's talk to Julie in Tennessee. Julie, welcome to The Crush.
Is there any universal wine that I can serve at dinner that would go with just anything? I don't, you know, not red for this and white for that, but just a general good all-around wine I can serve.
Julie, of course, listening to me being the Chardonnay-sipping diva, I'm going to say that Chardonnay will carry it all the way through. And, of course, those that are brave enough to argue with me, please do call. But in all sincerity, Julie, the one thing that I consider the universal wine is sparkling wine, whether it's an Asti, whether it's Prosecco, whether it's a Champagne, whether it's truly a California sparkling. It is the wine that can carry through course after course, palate after palate. It's the one that can actually be melded to match eggs, asparagus, anything. And for those that don't really like to drink, they can mask it by having non-alcoholic champagne or putting orange juice in their champagne. So I think when you're looking for something that can stand the test from start to finish of any kind of dinner, it's going to be that. What else is really cool about having a champagne dinner or serving sparkling throughout the course of the day is the fact that with every sip you take, for those of you who are exceptional cooks and you really believe that, you know, the whole dining experience is more about food than the wine, then the sip of the champagne will refresh your palate so that each bite tastes fresh and doesn't overwhelm your palate with too many flavors, so just after a while it all tastes bland. So, Julie, look for sparkling wine, whether it's inexpensive, whether it's expensive champagne, doesn't matter. It should be a crowd pleaser all the way around. Julie, I hope that helped, but right now we're going to see what Terry from North Carolina has to say. Terry, welcome to The Crush.
Now, I've called several times before, and you've made some great answers.
Oh, boy.
Got one tonight on red wine. Is it still true that doctors recommend a glass of red wine a day that's good for your heart? And if so, what is a good, moderately priced to medium-priced red wine that I could look at? So thanks a lot for your help.
Terry, of course, thank you. We're always happy to help, and it's nice to know that someone realizes the wisdom I can impart on anybody. See, Kent, people do
back
listen.
No,
all
on,
right, fair
off.
Enough. I'll pay him later. Terry, yes, doctors are advocating worldwide that red wine, because of the phenolic compounds, because resveratrol, the actual chemical compounds that occur because of fermentation in the wine, yes, they are healthy. They are healthy for your heart. They are healthy for your circulation. They've been known to help arthritis. There is a study right now that it may help breast cancer. It may help the onset of early Alzheimer's. There are a lot of great things that alcohol, and the key is in moderation, can certainly help with. For those of you who are kind of asking, this all started in 76 with the French paradox. 60 Minutes tried to figure out why the French could sit back, drink all that wine, eat all that cheese, and still have a semblance of intelligence coming forth and be healthy. And, of course, this is where this comes from. So, Terry, yes, doctors are still advocating it. Of course, once again, in a standardized serving, probably 5 ounces. I believe it's 2 glasses for men, 1 glass for women a day, and it will help you out. But as far as looking at something inexpensive, anything really is going to help. Whether it's like my father and has the bag in the box in the refrigerator of Cabernet, I've tried and tried, it's not helping, but it really will help you. I would recommend the Acre wine I talked about earlier in the show. Acre Merlot is good. There is also a line of wines called Cellar 8. They do a Cab, they do a Merlot, and they do a Zinfandel. And those tend to hit the shelves about $9.99. They're a great alternative. Also, something as simple as $2 Chuck has everything in it you could ask for. So pretty much any red wine that's been fermented, been bottled, been put on the shelf, it has the chemical necessities to actually make you a healthier and better person. Now, whether they're all going to help your palate or not, I have no idea, but good luck experimenting and trying, and let us know what you find.
We are stressing red wines, right?
Yeah, we are stressing red wines here. As of yet, they haven't proven a link that the resveratrol is in all white wines. They are saying it's quite possible it is in Chardonnays, but only in the heavier, the darker ones, and they're trying to figure out why. Trust me, once again, I will volunteer to be a research guinea pig for that whole thing.
As always.
As always. All right, moving on. Next victim is on the line. We have Barry from New York. Barry, you're on the Wine Crush.
Can a wine still be good if the cork crumbles? I've had a couple of bottles lately that the cork has just disintegrated when I put the corkscrew in. Is that wine still good? Do I need to throw it out?
Barry, interesting question. There's a lot of debate on this. My answer is you never know what's bad until you taste it. There are definitely going to be some snobs out there that say once that cork crumbles, you might as well, you know, kind of like as the cookie crumbles, just throw it away. I don't believe that. You think about the old Bordeaux, the old Burgundies that people put down. You think about some of the great wine houses, the first growth in France that will actually recork your wine for you. Is there evidence that that wine might be tainted? Yes, a crumbly cork, a wet cork is never an exceptional sign. But until you get the point where you've managed to get the cork out of the bottle and poured it into a glass, you aren't going to have any idea as to whether it's good or not. My recommendation, when you get in a situation where the cork is crumbling, definitely pull it out if you have to. I know they say you need to filter it, you need to decanter it. Let's face facts, not many of us have a true filtered decanter aerator around our house. Grab a coffee filter, grab the bottle of wine, and grab several glasses if you have to, and just pour it in there so you make sure that you get none of that cork into the glass. And once again, schools of thought differentiate here. The moment you pour it, put your nose in it. If it smells funky, I'd give it 10 minutes. Sometimes you can get a cabbage nose off it. Sometimes you can get kind of a barnyardy smell. That given enough time in the glass, the smell will go away. 20 minutes later, if it still smells like a barnyard, yes, your wine was bad, and give it up. So, no, is a crumbly cork always a bad sign? No, but it's one you definitely should pay attention to. Just a little aside, this is why waiters hand you the cork in a restaurant. when you've gone to the table, they've opened a bottle of wine and they hand you the cork. I hope all of my well-devout listeners know that they are not supposed to pick up that cork and smell it. You're supposed to take it. You're supposed to play with it. You want to see if it crumbles, and you want to see if it's wet. Because, once again, it gives you an idea before you pay $80 for that bottle that the wine might be questionable. So, Barry, I hope that helps. And for the rest of you listening, I hope that gives you courage and fortitude to call into the wine line, 877-4CRUSH1. Email us, info@winecrush.com. And see, I mean it. The show is really all about you. All right, more exciting stuff coming up after a small break.
I've been drinking wine recently. That's a sign of maturity. Drinking wine out of the box. Right from that rubber spigot.
The Wine Crush returns in a moment.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozarties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty.
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, walking you through some great news articles and some interesting facts and tidbits sometimes we always don't get to. And taking off that last caller we had who was asking about a crumbly cork. Before of you, you know, a lot of you have the idea of telling me to put a cork in it. I have a better idea of what to do with it. There is a organization called Recork America, and it's keeping wine corks out of landfills. The Wine Spectator reports on this. Trying to be green while drinking red, a new program called Recork America is encouraging wine drinkers to recycle wine corks. The pilot program is sponsored by one of the largest producers of natural wine corks from Portugal. And ReCork is working with Whole Foods Markets in Northern California to place cork collection bins in the wine aisles of these stores. Ideally, recycled corks can be turned into shoe soles. Y'all try and say that fast. Shoe soles, flooring, insulation, and various other products. My question for all these people, if we're going to recycle corks, can we use the crumbly corks that they asked about, or can we use those that have been infected? It'd be interesting to find out. But something else that's in the news. These are all great tidbits. They're all very interesting. But remember how I said there's a lot of stuff that's informative, there's a lot of stuff that's entertaining, and then there are things that just aggravate me? We're going to get to that small segment of the show where we talk about things that aggravate me. And this is predominantly, I'm looking at men wine writers who are getting off on a couple tangents and some strange new surveys that have been out, and they're targeting women. And I'm going to give this one for example. Douglas Green writes that women are more affected by price of wine than men. And this is based off researchers from the Stockholm School of Economics. Stockholm, isn't there a Stockholm syndrome, something about being kidnapped and actually starting to like your captors? I don't know. Anyway, the Stockholm School of Economics have found that disclosing the expensive price of a wine before people tasted it produced considerably higher ratings, although only from women. Johan Almenberg said he was surprised that men didn't seem to be affected by the price. It might be the way men relate to wine, because it's tangible, because of the aromas, because of the sensations it gives. But the women reacted very strongly to a high price. He goes on to say it may be something evolutionary. If you look for what women find attractive in a man, the paycheck is probably not that important for either sex, but a lot of women attach much more importance to it than men and use it as a grading factor. So this is actually what is out in some wine press right now, talking about the fact that women, we're going to like a wine better because it's more expensive. Tell you what, buddy, I'd love to have you come sit in the studio. We'll have a lot of fun with you going through things. But when it comes down to it, this is part of the bias, and this is part of the heart and soul that I believe that Wine Crush is all about. You still have a lot of people who look at women who don't understand their buying roles and their powers, either as the fact as they're winemakers, they're the highest growing percentage of winemakers out there, that women are now buying almost 80% of the wine that's purchased in supermarkets, Costco stores, Total Wines, the big box stores, that women are the ones who are going out, they're trying the wines. When you look at women patrons, you're more likely to find women ordering wine than men. So I still don't understand this article. Douglas, if you're listening, would love to hear what you have to say about it. But on the same token, you wish it was an isolated incident, and unfortunately it's not. Another article came off the Wine Spectator online. This is at winespectators.com, and it's commenting on women's drinking habits, and they've done a whole blown-up article on this. Now, keep in mind, they did do an online survey. The online survey was completed by 416 people. So 416 people who have access to the Wine Spectator's online database took the time to take the survey are dictating exactly how women are drinking. I will agree to the first three parts of this. Women drinking habits vary by variety, by price, and by country. We look for these three things when we're buying wines. Now, here's when I start finding this very interesting and I find flaws. According to the speculator, 79% of women drink red, 84% of women shop at specialty shops, and 34% will buy a wine they like. In other words, if they don't really like the wine, they're going to keep trying, they're going to keep experimenting, they're going to keep going back out and try different things. And finally, here's the one I love. 21% of women drink wine because it's fashionable. I'm not really sure how wine's fashionable. Can I have an answer for this? Oh, let's see. I'm going to wear white today, so can I have a glass of Chardonnay? I'll be wearing burgundy tomorrow, so I'll have a glass of cab. I mean, taking this apart, think about the times you go out to restaurants. Think about the times we've talked on the show. Think about the questions we have with people putting dinner parties together. 79% of women drink red. I'll give you this, maybe 54, 58%. But when you go out, you look around a bar, you find women enjoying Sauvignon Blancs, you find them enjoying Chardonnays, you see them enjoying more of a lighter style. Don't hand me a glass of wine just because I'm a woman. 84% of women shop in specialty shops. I wish I could ask you to all raise your hand. How many of y'all went to a wine shop this week? I see two of you. How many of you went into a grocery store this week? I see all 100 of you. Let's face facts, more women buy wines at grocery stores because unfortunately we're the ones generally stuck doing the grocery shopping. So once again, another anomaly I don't like. The fact is that you're saying that only 34% of us will buy a wine we like over and over again. I alone can totally discount that ratio. If I find a bottle of wine I like, remember Plump Jack Reserve Chardonnay, for those of you who are listening and meaning well, I will buy the wine over and over and over again. I like it. I'm not going to get tired of it, unless, of course, all of you are kind enough to send me 100 bottles. Then, of course, we might have to find something different. But regardless, I want you to look at the bias that occurs in all of this. There's bias towards women. When's the last time we saw bias towards a man? That actually leads me to an interesting email. This comes from Gary in Waukegan, and I like the way he phrases this. Why is wine considered the gentleman's drink? Well, Gary, I honestly don't know, because I think when we look across the board at who's drinking wine, who's purchasing wine, I think it's become the women's drink. And I encourage more and more women, please go out, please try, find something different, and enjoy it. Is it the gentleman's drink? I hope so, because I'd like to think that the people who are drinking the wine would profess themselves to be gentlemen. But as we'll see as we close the show, I don't think it's quite true. I'm Laura Lawson, and we're taking a small break right here.
I like to think about the life of wine.
Yeah.
How it's a living thing. I like to think about what was going on the year the grapes were growing. How the sun was shining if it rained. I like to think about all the people who tended and picked the grapes. And if it's an old wine, how many of them must be dead by now? I like how wine continues to evolve. Like, if I opened a bottle of wine today, it would taste different than if I'd opened it on any other day. Because a bottle of wine is actually alive. And it's constantly evolving and gaining complexity.
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-yah time!
The Wine Crush.
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I'm Laura Lawson, and I know some of you are sitting there trying to figure out how I'm going to tie together talking about such an outstanding trip to Chicago, a standard-sized drink, and how men sometimes look at women as wine weaklings. Well, I've got one for you today. As I said, I enjoyed Chicago immensely. I was fortunate enough to take one of my dear friends up. Between the two of us, we have 75 years in the wine business. Either side of the bar, doesn't matter whether we've worked on the retail side, whether we've worked on wholesale or serving side. Well, before we went to Chicago, because we are true enophiles, we had a list of accounts we wanted to go see. We have to see this. It's new. It's innovative. Well, one of the things we had to go see and all the great things Chicago had to offer was a champagne bar. We don't have the luxury of seeing those often. So we go into a champagne bar. It's mid-afternoon, and the place is absolutely stunning. Beautiful place to see and be seen. So we sit up at the bar. We're excited about the menu. We have the menu in our hand, and we see one of our all-time favorite champagnes, Laurent Perrier Rosé. Now, the way the champagne bar works, it's broken into tasting flights. You can have a 3-ounce, you can have a 5-ounce, or you can have a 7-ounce pour. Well, of course, as you have gathered with me, my taste doesn't lean toward the inexpensive, and we tend to have more money than sense when we're on the road. So we talk to the bartender when we finally get his attention. We say we'd like a glass of Laurent Perrier Rosé. We're talking something that's rating about $45 a glass. The guy looks at us and says, well, you know that's going to be pink. And my friend and I look at each other and say, well, yes, we know it's going to be pink. Can we have a glass of Laurent Perrier Rosé, please? Thinking maybe he misunderstood us. Well, no, unfortunately, he looks at us again. He says, you realize that's expensive, don't you? And we said, yes, most certainly, we realize it's expensive. Now, at this point, we're not too happy. He proceeds to lean down, put both elbows on the bar, and said, ladies, maybe I can steer you in a different direction. Now, this was bad enough. My friend snapped and said, just give us our glass of champagne, please. In the meantime, can you get your manager? We go to get the manager. The manager comes over and says, what's the problem? He was just trying to sell you something you might like better. Ladies, I encourage you. Men, I encourage you. Next time or any time you encounter a situation like this in a place that's supposed to be all about the grape in all its glory, anytime they're supposed to be teaching you about wine, do as we do. Pay your tab, stand up, and walk out. Because I promise you, there's places around the corner that would love to have you there. I'm Laura Lawson. You've been listening to The Wine Crush. We remind you always, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told. Hey, and drink where you're expected. We can definitely add that. And most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.